Touring the Talmud, Sanhedrin 97-103, for better or worse. The Son of David will not come until all great establishments are devolved, Daf 97. Even if it tarries, wait for it, Habakkuk. Be the change that you wish to see in the world, Mahatma Gandhi. The Talmud approaches the days leading up to the Messianic era in two ways. In one, the Mashiach comes as a natural culmination of humanity's climb towards excellence, emerging from a righteous age. And in the other, the Mashiach comes as a savior to rescue society from falling into irrevocable failure. The Son of David will come only in a generation that is entirely innocent or a generation that is entirely guilty. 98a. Reading these treatments some 2,000 years after their initial presentation, the odds seem to be on the side of the latter. Things are not well with the world. There's an overwhelming feeling that the world is seething in grief and turmoil. Terrorizing fundamentalism sweeps through the world in both religious and political guises. Leadership positions are held by individuals who seem more like caricatures than greats. Extremism has become the familiar and easy to understand safe zone for a human population that reels from the utter magnitude of information and complexity that floods it. We find ourselves gravitating towards the clear basic definitions of reality that we know in order to avoid dealing with the true subtleties of the world that must be discovered. Nuance terrifies us. The Messianic era in Judaism is one in which the details of history converge towards harmony, when the world's disparate elements connect in a peaceful and functional coalescence. The Mashiach is the emergent crown of that reality, the representation of the wholeness and wholesomeness of the earth to itself. The process of getting there, however, is not at all straightforward. It is a long and winding road of fits and starts and successes and crashes. The variables that determine its unfolding are so numerous and multifaceted that no one could possibly understand or absorb them, much less accurately predict their elusive development. Yet, in our readings this week, we are offered general principles by the Chachamim as to what will occur in the world upon nearing the threshold of the Messianic era. Although they entertain the possibility that the world will be in great strides of altruism and righteousness before the Anointed One arrives, more emphasis is placed on the alternative scenario, the breakdowns and failures of the world. The sages were known to say about these times, "Let them come, but let me not see them." But why should a world be allowed to sink to such lows? Why would the Mashiach, who is meant to rehabilitate society and usher us into the most golden of ages, not come to protect the world from its most worst states? It seems there is something that reaching the bottom provides and teaches that nothing else can. It is a firm and reliable foundation upon which a viable future can be built. When you can't fall any further, the only way you can go is up. It is the point we reach when we have tried everything else and followed it to failure. When we have tried something and experienced its lack of feasibility, we relinquish another potential illusion that could mislead us. The world's most robust systems are built through trial and error. Failure is the essential ingredient for strong and reliable growth. In this week's discussions, it is Rabbi Akiva who consistently finds comfort and solace in the dark circumstances, much to the surprise of his colleagues. He recognized that while the poor states are painful and challenging, they herald growth and better futures. Rabbi Akiva said, "Afflictions are beloved." By embracing fallibility, we allow ourselves to experience why certain ways do not work. Simply understanding or intellectually accepting truth is rarely sufficient to rectify the illusions that false projections create. We must become the change and move from a reality that we know to a reality that we live. For such growth to occur, the heart and mind must be transformed. More often than not, this occurs not by learning, but by living through events. The road to real and lasting achievement is paved with disillusionment, and therefore includes struggle, sadness, and pain. but it is also paved with epiphany, and with that comes grace, empathy, and joy. It is the path of life itself from the moment we are born, and its ultimate gift to us is that it awakens us from one level of consciousness to the next. When we awaken on any level, even if it is from our beds after a night's sleep, if we're not ready to stir, we're faced with choices. We can seize the new opportunities that the day brings, or we can resent the wake-up call and protest it by going back to sleep. Our choices will determine the trials that we will encounter. One way that we tend to nurture a sleeping culture is to focus on answers instead of questions. We believe that there is always a correct answer that we can come up with, and we hold tightly to a God complex in which we believe that we can know clearly what is happening in the world and how events will unfold. We fail to take into account the massive complexities that run through our lives, or the fact that they become exponentially more complex with the passage of time. Because we so deeply fear being wrong, we often do not take into account the random events that can change the course of our lives and our world forever. Humility and trial and error help us surmount these issues and remain awake. We've gone from a society of information scarcity to one of information surplus. Aside from the complexity of our world, the complexity that is the very makeup of our being and psyche is beyond our grasp and comprehension. What is it that determines our actions? Is it our situation, our perceptions, our hormones, our childhood experiences, our genes, our ancestors? It is all of those things and much more. We're complicated beings, bundles of contradictions. We therefore find our best solutions through experience and experimentation. So God gives us the world, time and space to learn through discovery. Is it ugly, painful, heart-wrenching? Yes, but it's also reliable, sturdy, and promising. From the pangs of failure, we learn the hallmarks of viability. We learn that we do not love because it is virtuous, but because it is the only way to live. We teach, embrace, and practice kindness, not because it feels good, but because it is the only way a world can thrive. The moral truths stem from the existential ones, not vice versa. In a random world, where there are infinite number of possible paths and opportunities that face us, few are viable. It takes us time to learn these vital lessons. It takes successive events to bring us to the realizations that we need to have in order to thrive at every level. And while it does indeed seem that the world is in poor state, it has always seemed so to us. At which point in history have things really been better? Yet when we step back and look at the entirety, we can see that we have made great progress. Few of us would genuinely choose to go back to any point in history other than our own. We would not wish to be a Jew, or for that matter any person, living 100 or even 1,000 years ago. We would not wish to give up our advances, sensitivities, knowledge, technologies, and the collective consciousness that we have steadily built and honed through the ages, and that is bequeathed to us collectively with each passing generation. Nor should we. We are getting better. Yes, we still have a long way to go, but we should be hopeful that while the process is distasteful, the products are splendid. When it only ultimately comes to a point that we have run out of solutions and are left with nothing but problems, a certain humility will ensue, and we will be ready for help from He who spoke and made us. Our tradition for tens of centuries has had us look to an era when a tipping point will cause a change and the world will fully awaken. Humankind will have the opportunity to choose grace and peace as its highest value, not just in theory, but in practice, for there will be no other true option. And while we may not live to see it, it is our honor to live our lives anticipating its coming. Shabbat Shalom.